Hi, my name is Con Koutsikas and this is A Cuppa with a Conversationalist, an entertaining, educational and informative program with a broad array of guests with unique perspectives and experiences. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkoutsikas.com. Welcome, listeners and viewers. My name is Con and I am the Conversationalist. And today we have the 25th episode and it's brought to you. We've got the Salubrious Studios from Mentor & Co. at Kentown. Thank you, Santo & Co. for letting us use these amazing facilities. My guest today for this 25th anniversary program bought a business 15, 17 years ago. And her sole intention was to have a business that fitted into her life, not her life having to fit around the business. She had goals and ambitions, and after 15 years, she sold it for a technical term, a shit ton of money, to the first person that expressed interest. My guest today is none other than Tammy Edwards. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Con, for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. After Tammy, it's important, after Tammy did sell Tuckfields, Tammy now does Tammy's Table and one-on-one coaching. Tammy's Table was created to provide support for other business people, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. Tammy, it's the 25th episode of A Cuppa, and I couldn't think of anybody more special than to have you on board. Tammy, let's start. One of the conversations that you and I had some time ago when we spoke about Tuckfields and your foray into the business world, you had a really clear plan on what you wanted, and we used this term begin with the end in mind. Tell us about what your thought process was and where you were at that stage.
Yep, sure. So when I first started the business, I never had the intention of buying myself a job. I always wanted to build myself an asset. I'd read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which many of your listeners have probably read also. And so that just opened my mind to not working for somebody else anymore and building myself an asset that I could eventually sell. So I went on that journey of employing staff over time. But at the start, the first two or three years was definitely just winging it and just, you know, putting more and more people on board but not really having any idea of what I was doing. I then engaged a business coach who had done basically what I wanted to do, which is very important to me, that you follow somebody that's actually walked the walk. And so he took me through, he suggested I read the E-Myth for a start, and he had E-Myth training. So he took me through the whole journey of how to build a business that can work without you. So the begin with the end in mind side of things, we developed a strategic vision for the business of where I wanted to see it in 5-10 years time, how I wanted it to look, how I wanted it to feel, what kind of staff I had. The culture, the people that I wanted to be serving as customers, and my exit strategy, which was one of the most important pieces of that.
So you actually had, as part of your strategic plan, there was actually an exit strategy already in that.
Yes.
So you were really, really clear
on
what you wanted to do and what your end game was.
Yeah, and the exit strategy was right down to the year that it would happen, what the person would look like that would buy it, and how I would eventually pull myself away from the business. Right. The year for me was very important. It was the year that my daughter was starting high school. So just a very long story short, my husband was home with my daughter from 6 weeks old as a stay-at-home full-time dad. So it was really important to me that I got my turn as a mum.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought teenagehood, that was when, being a girl as well, I thought that was when she was really going to need me the most. So I had that year set firmly in place.
Wow.
When she started year eight, I'd be out of the business.
Listeners, the power of planning and the power of intention. Tammy, you went into this business and with a growth strategy, growth mindset. Staff are obviously important, or team members, depending on what we want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about in terms of selection criteria, what were the main things that you were looking for? What were, let's say, your not negotiables?
Mm-hmm. I've always had the attitude of you can teach the skills, but you can't teach the attitude. Mm. So a lot of our interview process as the business developed wasn't done by me. It was done by my team because they had to work with the people more than I did, and their opinion on who, you know, who we put in to the business mattered to me a lot. And we had a very, I'm a very systems orientated person. That's my jam. So when we developed the onboarding strategy for the business, it was very clear what they had to do and how to do the interview, the testing, etc. So I really trusted my team and the systems we'd developed for them to shortlist before I had to get involved. I mean, obviously being a conveyancing practice, we had to have a certain amount of skill set in there as well. And we knew a lot of the people in the industry too. So that, that helped a lot that we had that, you know, it was a very close-knit industry, so we knew who was in there. But for me, it was them fitting into our culture. That was really important to me, and them understanding our vision when it came to systems and processes in the business, and for them to appreciate what we'd put in place and that they were happy to work under the way we did things there. So the process for us was initial interview, personality tests. We did personality tests to just make sure that we weren't getting the same, too many, you know, too many extroverts or too many
introverts,
task-driven people. You know, that was really important to us that we had a good balance. So personality tests, grammar test, maths test, spelling test. So all of that was done in the interview process. And the second interview, the manager would get involved, and then I'd come in for that final one, basically to say hello and welcome.
Hi, this is who you're working for.
But that definitely didn't happen at the beginning. You know, that was over time that we got to that point.
Of course. How did you convey your culture to either prospective employees or indeed the staff that you did have? What was the message around culture? What were you... What was the cultural message?
Okay, a big one was balance, because that was important to me, especially not being home as a mum. So for me, if I wanted balance and lifestyle, I wanted my team to have it as well. So I didn't like overtime at all. I wanted them home on time and walking out the door when I walked out the door. So for us, it was about balance. Systems was very important, having that systems-based culture, but having a lot of fun in there as well. So it being a conveyancing practice, you know, it's a law, so it can be a very serious, you know, business. But yes, for us, we like to have a lot of fun along the way and support each other. So if somebody had run out of things to do for the day, they didn't just leave. They would go and check on the rest of the team to see if they could help them in any way. Very progressive culture, very passionate and very committed. So, but yeah, certainly love to have a laugh, and, you know, we'd have theme days where we'd dress up in different things. Coffee vans coming to deliver on a Friday because the team, like Fridays was a very busy time for us with settlements for properties, with people moving in on the weekend. So I'd have a coffee van turn up with coffees for the team and croissants. And so it was really that appreciation as well, showing them that I really appreciated what they were doing.
With staff, we understand always there are challenges. What are some of the challenges you faced and dealt with, and how did you deal with them?
I've got a couple. One of them would be I found it very hard not to take things personally if they wanted to leave Tuckfields. Because I invested so much into my team with their training, development, and they became like family to me. So
why are you leaving me?
Yeah. You know, I was always proud of them if they wanted to go on a different venture or, you know, start their own practice or whatever it was, you know, because I just was like, spread your wings and do what you want to do. But inside, you know, it was very hard not to take it personally. But the other one would be, when it comes to personally, is because we were so... it was so important to us to get the right people in as a cultural fit. They aligned with my values, and that meant to me that I would have easily loved to have been friends with them. Being their employer and being their friend is a very, very difficult, like you've got to find that line there.
A very dangerous fine line.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like I couldn't go out drinking with them on a Friday night and then Monday morning have to come down on them because they'd, you know, come in hungover from a you know, a big weekend or something. So it's very hard to have difficult conversations if you're socialising with them and becoming really good friends. So and that was difficult because they would invite me to a lot of things and ask me to come along and I'd see them all out together doing things. But, yeah, I had to have that balance of do I really need to go to this or, you know.
So you actually made a conscious decision that you would not attend certain functions or spend more time with them than you really wanted to. So that was actually a conscious thing based on...
Definitely.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, and that was learned experience over the time, you know, where you sort of do something and you go, okay, this is why this is hard because I've been socialising with them and having fun with them, you know. Like things like I would go to the gym with some of them, go on runs and things like that. I found that okay. It was more the partying and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Alcohol's a dangerous mix, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice though at times.
Yeah. Yeah. This program is brought to you by Tammy Loves to Drink. Tammy, business indeed can be a lonely journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rewarding one, but it can be very, very lonely. We all need support at some point. What kind of support network did you have around you which helped you, I guess, through your challenging times?
Mm-hmm. Probably the one that stands out the most was my coach. So I was coached by him for 5 years. So he would come and see me monthly for 3 hours and he was definitely my sounding board and that person that I could, you know, trust and speak to him about anything without any judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It got to a point after 5 years that he actually sat with me one day and said, Tam, you've got to stop paying me. You know, there's nothing more that we, you know, I feel like you're paying me to just sit here and have a chat. And I was like, no, don't go, you know. but he was right. It was getting to that point of becoming more of a social friendship side of it. And we still catch up socially now.
Okay.
So, yeah, we definitely developed a very close bond over time. He calls me his mini-me because he's seen what he did, I've done. And he went from building a practice to building an engineering firm to selling it to semi-retiring, but didn't semi-retire, went into coaching. So we've sort of followed the same journey he's just watching me going, you just look at what I'm doing, Tam, because this is what you're going to do next. And they're travelling around Australia at the moment, so hopefully that's the next thing.
So
his kids are older though.
Because you can't go anywhere else at the
moment. No, you can't go anywhere else. But, yeah, community-wise, I did find that there was only certain things. I had a manager at Tuckfields, so I could talk to her about a lot, but at the end of the day she was still one of my staff. So there were certain things that I just felt other people didn't understand. Like, you know, my husband's extremely supportive and always has been of the business. But finding that those people that are in businesses as well that understand what you're going through, I felt like that was missing a lot. So I put out there, I thought, well, I'm going to have to create this myself. So I put out there to a few people that I had this concept of sitting around a table once a month with a few business owners talking about experiences and challenges. And when I put the email out there, I was really nervous. I thought, probably going to go, what is this?
Yeah.
but everyone said yes, and everyone that came that day continued coming. So we continued to meet monthly, and the connections got closer and closer. They'd then talk about it to somebody else. You know, word of mouth kept going and going.
Yeah.
So I had two groups running. This is the Tammy's Table concept. I had two groups running while I still had Tuckfields, and then I just found it just kept gaining momentum to the point that I just thought, I can't do both anymore, and my passion was really leaning towards the support to business owners.
Yeah.
So fast forward three and a half years, I think now.
Yeah.
There's six tables with a seventh starting in 2022.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, well, and I'm proudly a part of that magnificent Tammy's Table family. We'll talk about that a bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to touch on a little personal. Wes, your husband.
The legend.
the legend. And Wes, if you could only have known the conversation before we started to record. Tammy, were there times where the conversation between you and Wes was like, what are we doing? Why are we continuing to do this? And did it ever come to a time where you felt that what you were doing in the business wasn't headed where you wanted to go?
Yes, probably the standout for me. So Wes was definitely somebody that I spoke to all the time about the business and my direction. We definitely had our moments where I would want to sell it, but he was nervous about selling it because we weren't quite in the financial position yet that we wanted to get into. But probably a standout for me, I'm thinking this is where, I'm hoping I'm answering this correctly for you. If not, you can listen to me anyway.
This is all value for the listeners and viewers, Tammy.
I felt like my passion, the business was going this way, big time, but my passion was going this way. And I knew that was dangerous when we get to that crossroad in a business that, you know, it's going to die if my passion's gone. And my passion was going towards another business. Trying to have that conversation with Wes was difficult because we knew I was working an 11-hour week at Tuckfields and earning a lot of money, had a great balance, had a great team. So trying to get him to understand why I wanted out was, you know, that took a lot of deep conversations and a lot of spreadsheets. But we had a cyber attack, so we had a ransomware attack on our server. And so we lost everything. And so 15 years of work just completely, you know, everything was, well, whatever they do with it, you know, they cryptic their whatever, I don't know what the words are. But basically they put a ransomware note on our server. And I just saw 15 years of my business just going down the drain and nothing to sell. I was absolutely gutted.
Wow.
So thankfully, of course, good systems, we had backups. So we had the cloud backup plus a local backup. Mm. But to recover that took probably a good 24 hours. And I was there till 2 o'clock in the morning. So all day I was consoling my team who were in tears because they couldn't get their settlements through. They had angry clients. So I'm trying to be there for them, but at the same time I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I've lost everything. So I was there till 2 o'clock in the morning with the IT guys. You know, they were brilliant. And I got home that night and I just sat on the couch and cried and just said to Wes, I'm done. We either shut the doors tomorrow or we sell it. I'm done. I cannot go through another big thing like this because we had been through a lot of big things, as everybody does as business owners. That was the last straw for me.
Yeah.
So that's when we seriously had that, okay, let's look at how we're sitting, what we want for the business, get some valuers in and exit.
Just a couple of things I just want to digress about for the listeners and viewers. The absolute importance of having systems in place because cyber attacks are becoming far more prevalent. And 60 Minutes, there was a great episode recently, and they were talking about cyber attacks. And I a very good friend of mine who is in business himself, exactly the same thing, ended up costing him $15,000 to get their information back. And now he has systems in place. So listeners and viewers, don't think it can't happen to you. And as Tammy said before, systems is her jam. And if you haven't got any, get them. If you don't know how to get them, get in touch with Tammy. Systems are absolute must. I digress. Tammy, one of the things, obviously you start a business and hopefully you start making a profit sooner rather than later. One of the things that you and I have always spoken about is living within your means in terms of not spending money unnecessarily and reinvesting back into the business. What was your approach with profit and keeping a real tight lid on costs?
Yeah. We're minimalists, Wes and I, so we don't have a lot of things.
You didn't buy a BMW in the first 12 months?
No. We're going on that journey now and it's fun, but we can. we are definitely people that don't buy things if we can't afford it, you know, and we'll think about it before we do it and think, you know, is this really going to bring us any joy? Do we really need this? So we consider everything.
Need versus want.
Yeah. Mm. And for us, you know, we still have a couch from IKEA at home and, you know, you can put your feet up on it, no problems at all. And, you know, we have a very simplistic approach when it comes to what we need at home. Definitely have some wonderful luxuries now, but, you know, that's happened over time. With the business, I kept it very lean. The staff were paid well because they were a massive asset to me. But expenses-wise, I would go over everything every 6 months, down to a fine-tooth comb. We'd review insurances, phone bills, you know, all the plans we had. It was a cash business, so I didn't borrow money at all with that business. So we paid cash for everything, so we didn't have a lot of overheads, ongoing overheads with payments. So I think protecting your profit to me is incredibly important, and that was part of our strategy too, because we wanted to pay off our home before we sold. So any money in that bottom line, you know, I wanted to put it to good use for our future. So it was really going, okay, well, you know, the more we can protect that bottom line, the more we can put towards our personal goals, which is why we had the business in the first place. You know, it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And having attended a number of your workshops and indeed, as I said, being part of the Tammy Table Group, you are the queen of free. And if you listen to Tammy... We have this, I won't say urge, but there's this plethora of programs and things that are available, and it's $10 here, $15 there, $20 there, and before you know it, you've got $150 a month in subscriptions. Mm-hmm. Now, you're always talking about free, and tell us about how you make your decisions in terms of whether it's something that you need to pay for or at what point do you need to pay for it?
That's funny because I thought you meant free as in like freedom.
No.
You're talking about me not wanting to pay for anything because tight.
No. You're a tight ass there. No, absolutely, you're a tight ass. And you know what? Good kudos to you.
Yeah.
It took me many years and lots of heartache to work out that I needed to be a tight ass, but that's another story.
Well, as you know, I don't pay for expensive programs at all. Never have, never in, I've learned everything I can for free. Like if I can find it, you know, a way to listen to a speaker that I admire or a business mentor that I admire, and if I can get that stuff off the internet, I'll do that rather than, you know, pay for their $10,000 course. And subscriptions and things like that, you know, I definitely look at it all to see whether it's really, really necessary and whether I need it or, you know, I just don't like having ongoing expenses that are unnecessary. Yes, we have Netflix and Foxtel and all that stuff at home, but you know, that's a lifestyle choice. But yeah, it's just really making those decisions and can you afford it? You know, can you really afford it, and are you going to get something out of it? Like I'm not against people doing these expensive courses and workshops and things if they're going to then use what they learn, because a lot of people don't. They do it and then it goes on a shelf and it's forgotten about. So for me now, my goal is to give business owners affordable advice, practical advice from what I've learnt. So that's why my workshops are not expensive. My coaching's not expensive. Tammy's Table is ridiculously cheap. But that's because I'm in that position now that I just want to help people, and that's what I'm passionate about doing.
And in fact, I unashamedly will tell you that it is too cheap, but that's... only my
don't
humble
say that,
view.
Because you don't want me to put the prices up.
special membership discount.
It's for me, I guess for me, I always go back to when I engaged my coach, he gave me his proposal and I looked at it and I said, I can't afford it. I cannot do it, but I really want to work with you. And so I just went back to him and said, what can I get for $500 a month? Like, I would do anything to work with you. And he thought about it and he came back and he went, you know what, Tam, you can have what I had in that proposal for the $500 a month, he said, because I really want to work with you too. And I never ever forget that.
Sure.
Like,
okay.
And the value I got from that coaching, like, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for him. And he says I would be, but I wouldn't. I didn't know the steps to take to build what I built. So I just want to give back now and really help as much as I can and not lock people into big programs that are expensive. Just say, you know, pop in and out as you need to. And just really help people and, you know, pursue that passion now of getting people to that next stage and helping them to build good businesses.
And as we wind up, I just, for the benefit of the listeners and viewers, Tammy's Table, which, as I mentioned, is I'm part of, and the value that I've gotten out of it, not only from an information perspective, but from a support network. Mm. And you and I had this conversation when I refuse to use the word, so C word started a couple of years ago, and the importance of having that group as a support. How, like, where do you see that going, and what's the feedback that you get from the attendees?
A lot of it, I don't feel like people go there for practical advice anymore. Like, that's where it was heading at the beginning. Mm. Now it's a community. It really is that. The people that I see that connect outside of the meetings organically, not because they have to and they have to tick off a sheet with, you know, they've been to this many meetings in the month. It's organic. It's genuine. Like, I feel like, you know, it's mixed gender, which is fantastic. Having men sit in a room, which we've seen several times, open up about things that you wouldn't expect a male to normally do.
Guilty.
Do. Yep. And cry.
Mm.
And we're just there with no judgment at all. And I remember one situation with you where you were upset one day and another fella just put his hand on your shoulder and just went, let's go out for a beer, mate. Mm. And to me, I just went, that's all I need to see. Like, just that everyone's got support. We're removing the isolation from being in business. Yes, we do learn practical things along the way, but most of it is literally we now go, and I'm sure you agree, where would we be without each other?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm very protective of that community and who we let in. I'm not collecting members. Mm. I'm very selective. They have to gel. Like, fit to me is so important, because you get one person that's a bad fit and it can ruin a whole table. So, and getting those tables now to a point where I feel like now that it's grown enough, we've got them to different areas in business, like we're different stages in business, that's helped a lot too, because the conversations are more powerful when you're in a similar space
in your
business.
Absolutely.
I answer that? Because I just feel like I went on a tangent.
You did. No, you did. You answered it very well. And what I garnished from that was interesting, that the Tammy's Table, as you said, you're not chasing members.
No.
You're not chasing participants. They come to a meeting, and if they don't gel, it needs to be a cultural fit, and that's really what you did at Tuckfields.
Mm, yep, definitely.
So there's a consistent theme there with what you do. And again, we've been to meetings where there's been guests where we've known instantaneously that they're just not a cultural fit. Mm. You know, they might be very nice people, but they're just not a cultural fit. Tammy, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you on this 25th episode.
Congratulations, Con.
Of a couple with a conversationalist. Yes, we got there despite copious amounts of money asking me to stop doing them. No, that's not true. Yes, and I got my cuppa courtesy of Santo here at Mentor Co. Thank you, Santo. Tammy, just again for the listeners and viewers, how can they get in touch with you? I know you are at capacity. You've got a waiting list. But I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there that's going to go, how can I get in touch with this woman?
Yeah, sure. Not at capacity.
Oh, you're not at capacity now?
No.
Oh, wow, okay.
There's a difference between capacity and availability. I'm not available.
Okay, right.
I could take more.
There. Yeah. True.
It's all about balance. Mm. Yes, I do have a waiting list for coaching for one-on-one, but Tammy's Table, we're always welcoming new people to come along and have a look. You can go to my website, tammy-edwards.com.au, or find me on Facebook, register your interest through the website, and then I'll get in touch. It's as simple as that. You can come along for a taste, see what you think, and go from there.
Fantastic. Tammy, it's been an absolute pleasure. And again, thank you to Mentor & Co. for the salubrious studios that we've got here. We've got cameras at every angle. Don't know what I'm going to look like, but hey, it'll be a lot of fun editing. My name is Con. I am the conversationalist, and thanks for listening on our 25th episode. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Cuppa with a Conversationalist. To join in next time, follow or subscribe. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkoutsikas.com.